error here, but he's got to be aware of Derek White on the quick pass back also.
White will inbound. It's off to Smart for the seventh game. Sounded. The light was on. It'll be reviewed.
I don't think he got that in time. Great effort by Derek White.
And didn't I say you have...
Oh, they're saying on the floor. They're counting it.
You have to protect the offensive rebounding.
Oh, he got all rid of it.
He sure
did. That's a Celtic win, and we're going to game seven.
The Celtics are going to win. There's a game seven back in Boston.
Ruling on the floor is good basket. The play's under review.
White. Welcome to the Sportscast, May 29th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can listen to us on thesportscast.net or go to our app, The Sports Cast one for iOS. As you saw that clip, Derek White forced a game seven with 3 seconds left of the game, and the series is tied. And this could be an historic moment for the Celtics that might win the series, coming down from an 0-3 deficit. And join us a man that did not believe in this team. Hal Phillips, welcome back to the Sportscast.
I don't think that's fair, Santi, but thank you for having me. I believe in the team that they are, which is hugely inconsistent. And we saw all of that all in the space of about 4 minutes on Saturday night.
Yeah, the Heat were leading. I mean, like, they didn't lead at all during the whole game. It was, I think they were leading in after 3 seconds by 1 point. I thought we won the game. And Derek White pulled an Allen Houston on us.
Yes.
Back in the late 90s with the New York Knicks against the Heat. But your thoughts over that shot and the whole game itself?
Well, God, where to begin? Derek White deserves credit for making two incredible basketball IQ plays. He waits for the third option. It's Marcus Smart because the Heat doubled both Jaylen Brown. Well, they doubled... They doubled Tatum and kept Brown from getting it. He inbounds it and then runs right to the corner where he would have been a really good option to shoot an open three because they collapsed on Smart. But Smart immediately threw it up on the backboard, which is probably a smart thing because 3 seconds is obviously enough to get a tip in. And Derek White, after going to the corner, follows not his shot, but Smart's shot. Actually, he and Tatum both followed it. If it had come off another way, Tatum would have had a perfectly legitimate chance to tap it in. There's Tatum right to the right there. He's there. And interestingly, the Heat, when you look at not at this picture, but other angles, when the shot came off, they all raised their hands like, phew, we won. Only Max Strus, you can see there challenging White, actually went to the basket to try and rebound or deter someone from making a tip. You know, you can't read too much into all these things. It was just a great play by White and not the greatest team defense from the Heat once the shot went up. But, I mean, God, they 3 seconds left. You think that they've done their work. They certainly forced the ball out of Tatum's hands. I don't know where to begin, Santi. You're going to have to pepper me with questions because this game and the last 4 minutes of this game were really picked over here in, you know, New England, as I'm sure they have been picked over in South Florida. There was just so much going on in this game. It was a classic.
It was a classic game, of course, with Boston leading most of the game. But, you know, back to that play, because there was an issue with the clock, and NBA came out with a report yesterday that, yes, it should have been 3 seconds because there was, video streaming all over Twitter about it should have been at 2.5. Could have made a difference, but were you hearing those rumors? Those takes of people saying, hey, it should have been a little bit like the clock should have been at 2.5 or 2.3.
Oh, yeah, I heard them, and it's sort of basketball fandom's equivalent of whataboutism. As soon as a Bostonian hears that argument, they're like, well, Jimmy fumbled the ball and carried it. I mean, they shouldn't have even sent him to the line, and much less The foul occurred before the shot. Why give him three shots? They should have given him only two, if any, because he was fouled before the shot. It was, look, it has always been weird to me when they put time back on the clock, which they do routinely, you know, when they go back and check these things at the end of games. Two things seem to prevail. One is they don't really recognize the fact that when a foul is made, you know, the referee is not going to whistle it immediately. The timekeeper is not going to register that whistle immediately. So they're setting the clock at three because Al Horford's elbow blocked Jimmy Butler's shot cleanly at 3 seconds. So, but that's just not the way basketball works. So I agree with them. I think 2.5 probably would have been the better call. But should it have even been a call? I mean, the Jimmy Butler's motion was just a lunge at the basket. He had already fumbled the ball and double dribbled before that. Then you know, Horford sort of bumped him as that happened. And if you could call that a foul, but that happened before the shot. It was just a crazy sequence. And I think if there's any kind of league involvement, it is the idea, and this is, again, a reach. Yeah, put 3 seconds back on the clock because that's better television. That gives the Celtics a chance to tie or win the game, and we wouldn't mind having a game seven.
No, not at all. And then, of course, towards the end, before that shot by Derek White, you had Jimmy Buckets that made three free throws. At that moment, did you think the Heat was going to win it, or some optimism?
Yes. I mean, when they put, you know, 3 seconds is a lot of time, and you knew the Celtics were going to get a shot off. I mean, they were going to get a chance to tie the game or win the game. They could have been fouled themselves. At that point, when there were 2.1 seconds, that's enough time to get a shot off. And, you know, they would have devised a different shot maybe, or I don't know. But as soon as that happened, it was a sinking feeling. The real emotional swing for me as a Boston fan was when the shot did not go in, and it went in and out, it went halfway down and then popped out. That was the moment when my basketball life flashed before my eyes, and it's like, oh my God, this is over. I mean, this team may get broken up. This series is done. We're not going to the finals. And then Derek White's shot was almost an afterthought. Because like the Heat, I was turning away or pounding something and didn't see the follow or didn't register. And then the way the call was made, and we just heard it, it wasn't clear that he got it off. And no one was celebrating, so you're sort of assuming that it didn't beat the clock. But that was interesting in that I hadn't watched or heard the audio. Stan Van Gundy's like, he got rid of it! I've never heard anyone say he got rid of it with more enthusiasm, because the fact that he got rid of it won the Celtics the game.
Derek White, what do you think about him? He's been, you know, a super role player for this team, but he's a hero now.
Derek White is a great, great defensive player. I believe he's an all NBA defensive player. I mean, he's not a schmuck. And for the Celtics, he has really shot the ball very well and frequently, as they want, you know, to do. They are three-point mavens, and he's part of that crew. You know, Brogdon hurt his elbow tendon, and he's out. So now Derek White is it. He and Smart are the two guards, and they're great defensive players, and Derek White is a very heady basketball player, and he's a good offensive player. He's not any kind of defensive-only, you know, drone. He's a great guy. People really do like him. He's very quiet, and he's been a major part of the team. I couldn't be happier for him because he's always been good.
One of the key things that I've seen that Boston's been doing, especially in game six, is defending against Butler and shutting down Bam Adebayo. Jimmy Butler had 24 points. Adebayo had 11 points.
11.
And the rest of the players, Gabe Vincent, you know, yeah, shooting their points, but I think the key is just shutting down Butler and Bam.
Well, I don't think that anyone shut Jimmy Butler down. Jimmy Butler didn't have it. Jimmy Butler did not have the legs in that game. He looked tired in game five, which I attended on Thursday, just was never into it, sat out the entire fourth quarter. And the other night, Saturday night, he just wasn't fit. He just had no energy, had no legs, as they like to say. He worked hard. He did everything else. I don't think he came out of the game, but for a minute. So I'll give him all the credit in the world for that. And down the stretch of that game, he was Jimmy Butler again. But for most of that game, he was a non-factor. I don't know that it was because the Celtics did anything special. Adebayo, they did a great job making him shoot, you know, mid-range jumpers and turnarounds. And 11 points from Bam Adebayo, who is your second best player in a game six, that's just not good enough. Cody Martin and Gabe Vincent are the reason the Heat are where they are. And they are the reason that they were even in that game the other night. The Celtics played the first 44 minutes of that game as well as they've played any in the series. And they've won, you know, two other games. They should have been up 15 points, but they were only up 10, 98-88 with 4:15 left when Joe Mazzulla called a timeout. And they did not make a basket after that. And this is what we've talked about all during these playoffs. The Celtics, when they have to make baskets, they can't do it. The only idea they have in these pressure situations is to hoist three-point shots. And that's what they did all through the last 4 minutes of the game. They missed them all. It's really strange that, you know, I think that there's statistics that show that when the Celtics make 12 or more three-pointers, they just don't lose. They're volume shooters. And when you, even if you shoot a bad percentage and you make 12 or more, I think they're 12-2 or something like that in the playoffs, or 10-2. But they made 7 three-pointers in this game and still had a 10-point lead with 4 minutes left. They outplayed the Heat. And one of the reasons they did was they went to the basket. They went to the basket way more in this game than they had in any other. They defended like banshees against Bam in particular, and they deserved to win. And then they nearly gave it away. They did give it away. And then the Heat gave it back.
Celtics, what do you see different from this year's team compared to a year ago?
The Celtics?
Yes.
Well, not much. I would have said Malcolm Brogdon before, but Brogdon is hurt now, and Brogdon is a great defender as well. But when you come to the Celtics, you become a three-point shooter first. That's what everyone does. That's the mindset. Even Al Horford. Remember Al Horford when he played for other teams? He never shot these shots. I mean, this is the Celtics' way. And when they make them, you really can't beat them. And when they don't, you can. They did not lose this game, though, because they stopped, you know, they missed, they made only 7 of 35 three-point attempts in this game. That's not why they lost. They lost because they couldn't get good shots in the last 4 minutes. And Rob Williams missed a couple of bunnies in those last 4 minutes. Marcus Smart missed a key free throw. Either they don't do that, then we're having a different conversation today. But what's really fascinating is what happens next, Santi. What are they saying in South Florida now about the Heat? How do you win this game? How do you win this game after giving one away?
Yeah, and which is something that we've been talking about. Because keep in mind, the Heat went through a play-in, Hal.
Yes.
They beat the Milwaukee Bucks. They beat the Knicks, which I guess is arguably pretty not as difficult as you think. Mm-hmm. And then we reach the Eastern Conference Finals being up 3-0. I don't know. History will look back at us. Looking back at us if we lose tonight. Mm-hmm. I mean, this could be talked about for years to come.
Yeah, and there's all this discussion of Heat culture and what a great coach Spoelstra is. And I agree that those are real things. But yeah, if they lose this game, it'll be crushing. Interesting, though, you know, the stats have been flying all week. 151 times NBA teams have taken 3-0 leads in a playoff series. Only 3 times have NBA teams come back to level the series at 3. This is the 4th. In the previous 3 times, the team that had lost 3 in a row always wins. The 3 time, no team that came back to, you know, to level it has ever won the 7th game. So that says to me there's a lot of psychological baggage on both sides of the equation tonight, and not just the Heat, who obviously are devastated, but the Celtics too, who probably feel like they've done all the hard work, and maybe that makes them complacent. I don't know. It's going to be a fascinating thing to watch. But, you know,
yeah.
The other thing I would say is that we crap on the Celtics a lot for sort of this Jekyll and Hyde show that they've been showing really for 2 years, not just this year. But I think they're 6-1 in elimination games now. That's pretty incredible.
That's quite telling.
And also, I think that the Heat are as streaky as the Celtics are. Like you said, they played terrible the last 3 weeks of the season. They lose to Atlanta in the playoff and have to beat the Bulls, and just barely did it to get into the playoffs. And then something switched. They lose the first game to the Bucks. They win four in a row against the best team in the Eastern Conference by everyone's measure. Blew them out. Then they beat the Knicks, who are not terrible, play good defense, and then they take three games from the second best team in the East, the Celtics, and they made it look easy. Well, that's a different team. That team is gone. Now they're really relying on Cody Martin and Gabe Vincent now, because no one else is doing the job. And when Jimmy Butler doesn't score 30 and Bam scores 11 points and they're in the game, well, that's Gabe Vincent and Cody Martin. Cody Martin has been as good, if not better, than Jaylen Brown in every game in this series.
Well, game seven is tonight on Memorial Day night. As Hal said, Malcolm Brogdon is listed questionable for tonight after missing game six. And Gabe Vincent is also questionable for tonight, but I would not be surprised he'll play tonight. Celtics are a 7-point favorite. Hal, what is your thoughts for tonight? What needs to happen for the Celtics to win and also for the Heat to win?
Well, I have no idea what will happen, Santi. Nobody does. I mean, these teams have been just crazily inconsistent. But what I hope to see as a Celtics fan is I hope to see them flying around and playing defense like they did in the last game. They were defensively
which they corrected their defense these past couple of games.
Yes, they've changed it. They've jumped out on Bam. They've basically I think they're prepared to give Jimmy Butler his points and completely jump out on Gabe Vincent and Cody Martin. Cody Martin just continues to shoot 60% from the field. He's taking three-pointers as well. But the interior defense has been really good. But I thought the biggest change in the last game was offensively. They just took the ball to the hoop. They shot 7-for-35 from three-point land and still had a 10-point lead with 4 minutes to go. That says to me they're doing different things. They're going to the basket more. They have to go to the basket when they're not making threes. They did that the other night. But defensively, the last three games, they've played very well, and they just have to keep doing it. It'll be interesting to see what Spoelstra does. I thought they would play Highsmith a little bit more in the game, in game six. He was so good in game five. Admittedly, a bit of a garbage time performance from him, but he's useful. They need bodies.
Yeah, that's something that we've been struggling with, a health issue.
Yeah.
The depth, and Celtics have not been struggling with that. I mean, maybe Brogdon is a little bit banged up, but you guys are well set with roster,
yeah.
Just like Man City.
Don't you compare my Celtics to Man City? We don't have Qatari money.
I couldn't think of anyone else. But like for tonight, obviously, it's going to be very key for the Heat. I think your team is definitely doing better with the scoring wise. And our defense needs to work on that a little bit. And what I saw in game six, how the Heat were forcing a lot of shots. There was not much ball movement. It felt like they were just forcing it and forcing a lot of threes. And I think we need to have a good balance out a little bit with twos and threes a little bit, but your team is favorited and I will give it to you guys, but can you give us a score for tonight?
A score?
Yeah.
Well, I think one of two things will happen. The Celtics will either win going away. That game six that they won the other night was the first close game they've won in this entire playoffs. Every other game looked a lot like game five, where they get a lead, they hold it and build on it, and then the other team basically cries uncle at some point in the fourth quarter, and they win going away. That was the first game that they played that was close, and they gave it away. I think that if they get in a situation like that again, I can't see them giving it away and winning. So I think the Celtics lose if it's close, but they win if it's, if you know, if it's a comfortable margin from either direction. So yeah, I think they're going to win comfortably because I want that to happen. I don't see them winning any other way, Santi.
Yeah.
It really is pathological stat. The way that they give games away, and they've done it for 2 years, and yet they're a game away from their second straight NBA finals. It's pretty extraordinary.
Celtics have outscored the Heat by 10.5 points per 100 possessions across three straight wins. Mm-hmm. So the scoring is going great with them. In addition to outstanding defensive resistance, Austin's offense was a very, very good. And the Heat committed only five turnovers in the game and were 14 of 30 from three-point range. So a lot going on here tonight. We'll see what Spoelstra is up in his sleeve.
Well,
let me just
jump in before we leave it, because that's an interesting stat. I didn't realize that they were 14 of 30 from three.
Three-point range.
And they only turned it over five times. Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart turned it over nine times between the two of them. And they shot 7 for 35 from three. If you saw those stats, you would have said the Heat win that game. Well, they didn't. And they should have lost it, you know, comfortably, because they were down 10 with 4 minutes to go, and it could have been 15. It shows you what good defense the Celtics did play to make up for all of these very bad stats on the offensive side, giving, turning it over and missing threes. If they follow that path tonight, I think they'll win. So yeah, I'm betting, I don't know the score, but I think they should cover.
They should cover for sure. So we'll see what happens later tonight. I'm going to be watching the game with some friends. When I was watching game six, I was at a restaurant, all the waiters were looking at the game. They stopped working.
I loved it. It was for them.
Yeah. I was like, you know, hey, it's going to be like, you know, a couple of minutes, you know, everybody will be fine for 5 minutes. So anyways, we thought we were going to win. I was like, no way this guy is going to shoot the ball, you know, and just score. But Derek White, of all people.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it.
It shows you that the Celtics have great faith in Derek White. I mean, he inbounded the ball. He knew that, and they called the play, essentially. He was the secondary for everyone. He's going to run to the corner and be there if you get doubled. But they don't think the coaching staff thinks a lot of Derek to give him the ball in that situation, and he got it back.
Which I was going to ask you, have you seen the difference between Joe Mazzulla and the coach for the Celtics last year, Ime Udoka? Do you see any differences in styles of management?
Yeah, I think the defense is not as stern. I think that Udoka, for his many faults on the defensive side, was a better coach. He also had a lot more first-rate assistants who were able to help him. But, you know, they've had a huge brain drain for the Celtics, not just Udoka, but Will Hardy and Damon Stoudemire. These are all people that could help Joe. That said, I think Joe has really coached a lot better in the last few games. He has started calling timeouts. His timeout with 4 minutes left was a great timeout. They had the ball. They're like, let's get a good shot here. We're up 12 and we coast. Well, they missed. But he's calling timeouts at key times. He refused to do that before. And I thought their defensive performance was as good as any Udoka coach team produced. I think Udoka is a better defensive coach. Offensively, they have the same philosophy, and it's hit or miss. You can't count on making threes in this league. And if you miss them, you got to figure out another way to win. And let's hope they can do that tonight.
And I have to give credit to Robert Williams III, having a fantastic couple of games. I was going to say series. No, fantastic couple of games. With 10 points, so definitely good from the bench. Yesterday, Premier League concluded yesterday with Championships Sunday. The top four was ready, you know, all set. The only thing they had to figure out was relegation. Mm-hmm. Everton came out. They're alive. They stay up. Leeds and Leicester City were relegated with Southampton. What was your reaction of yesterday's Premier League conclusion?
Well, I was rooting for Everton because I went to school in London for a year in 1985, and Everton was the king of English football at that point.
So, I heard about that.
Yeah, they were great teams, Howard Kendall teams. They played lovely football and they won a lot of games. when I was there. So I've always liked them. I mean, I'm a Tottenham guy, but I've always liked Everton. So I'm glad they stayed up. I think they have not been sent down since 1951. Other than Arsenal, who's not been sent down in 97 years, it's the longest streak going. So I'm glad to have seen that. Obviously not happy to see the Americans at Leeds go down, but geez, I'm crow. They've had 12 coaches in 3 years. I mean, that's just, you can't win that way. It's just too reactionary. And, now, I'm sure Wes McKinney will go somewhere else, and it sounds like they want
to. He's going back to Juventus at least.
Well, he's going back because that's where the loan came from. I'm not sure that he'll end up there, but Brendan Aaronson apparently is, going to stay with them because I think contractually he has few choices, and it's not the worst situation for him. Maybe he'll start for them and get really good minutes. I wouldn't kill him. I liked the fact that Ethan Horvath, the backup keeper for the U.S. national team, is going up with Luton Town.
Promoted.
Yes.
Beat Coventry. And penalty shootout. It was a great match, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I wish I'd seen it. I had something going on that Saturday and couldn't get it done. But Luton Town, just again, to go back, God, almost 40 years now, Luton Town was in the top division in 1985 when I was there. So the idea that they're going back and haven't been back there since is really,
and they need to upgrade their stadium.
Well, I think once you get to the premiership and you are making gigantic money, the league does require you to invest in, more stadium seating. It rarely gets done in time that, they could sort of put a token effort in and basically go down in a year's time and not have to pay too much money. But jeez, you make so much money in the Premier League from the TV that they've built some more seats because that it's called Kenilworth. It's cute. It's surrounded by a town, which is one of the great things about English football. And a lot of European stadia are just, right in the middle of neighborhoods. You don't see that here too much. So good for them. Good for Ethan Horvath. But sad for Leeds and up the Toffees.
Yeah, Luton is promoted along with Sheffield United and Burnley. Burnley was promoted in April, so they had a couple of months already sitting very comfortable. So the Premier League is set. Man City has won the Premier League. Arsenal number 2. 3 Man United, then Newcastle, and of course my Liverpool sit comfortably at 5th to the Europa League, which I don't remember the last time I went to the Europa League, Kyle, but we'll have to eat some humble pie at the meantime.
The big story this weekend was not in England, I don't think. The Bundesliga was the bigger drama. And
I saw that.
Dortmund
could have won it.
Dortmund really laid an egg. My goodness gracious. Couldn't beat Mainz at home.
Kind of looks like Tottenham.
Yeah, it was very Tottenham-esque. So I don't know. That was, you don't see this too often. Bayern Munich ends up winning the league because Dortmund couldn't win it. And they celebrate their 12th straight league title by firing everyone.
Yeah.
Because they don't care about the league. They care about the Champions
League. Oliver Kahn got fired.
Yeah.
And no one knows if Tuchel's going to stick around.
Well, I don't know. It should right itself there, at least from a stability standpoint. It's not the way it usually goes at Bayern that they are in this much turmoil. I mean, they win Bundesliga titles like falling off a log. It means nothing to them.
Like drinking water.
Yeah. I imagine that they will hand the keys to somebody and let them run with it. There were factions there that were vying the whole time, but so odd to see a league champion just clean house like that, like the same day.
Yeah. And, just to tell the audience, Borussia Dortmund lost against Mainz 2-1, a goal by Bellingham, actually, and it just didn't happen. Gio Reyna had the heads for their goal, so that was a good closer, I guess.
Didn't start the game, didn't start for Borussia Dortmund all year long. And, just as a, an aside, or an addendum to, this World Cup scenario and that went down, I mean, Gio Reyna is obviously seen by his own club as a guy that's great to pull off the bench, to create instant offense. He should probably go someplace where he can get regular time and show that he's more than that. I think he is more than that, but geez,
I think so too.
Is he even 20 years old? I mean,
yeah, plenty of time. I think pretty much at 20. Of course, we'll see more of him in the Gold Cup and the Nations League this upcoming weeks. Correction, the score was 2-2. Dortmund had to win the Bundesliga. So
right, they were down 1-0. They were down 2-1. They tied it both times, but they had to win if Bayern won, which they did. And they left it late as well. So there was great drama if you were into the Bundesliga on Saturday afternoon.
I believe the last time Dortmund won was when Jurgen Klopp was there.
Yeah, 2012.
2012, very memorable, and that brought him to Liverpool.
Correct.
Well, a lot of sports tonight. Games 7. What is the scenario going to look like for you watching it? You're going to watch it with your wife. You're going to go to a bar, or you're just going to go just by yourself somewhere.
Well, you know, I went to the game Thursday. I watched.
That's right.
Saturday.
How was the atmosphere?
It was weird. When you showed up, it was very quiet and nervy to start the game because they'd only won one game at that point. They were still down 3-1. A lot of people felt as I probably felt, which was, geez, I came all the way down from Maine for this game. They could get blown out again, and it's going to be a complete waste of time. But they produced the kind of game that I expect tonight. They got out in front early and just never took their foot off the pedal and won going away. But that changed the atmosphere there immediately. They hit everything in the first 5 minutes, and the place was going crazy. And they just kept going crazy all night because it was – people were, you know, liquored up and they kept making shots, and they were so starved for good news at that point that the home crowd loved it. Let's hope for a carbon copy tonight.
Which they compared to the Red Sox being down 3-0, 3-1 against the Yankees, right? Back in the playoffs.
Yes.
Is that what they're comparing it to?
They're doing that now, especially because, you know, that was just game 6. Game 5. They won game 6 Saturday night. They're calling Derek White the Dave Roberts of the Celtic team. Dave Roberts, of course, came into run for somebody, stole second and scored the tying run in game 5 or 6 of their comeback. I've heard that, and I don't think this is wrong, that, I mean, national sports fans hate Boston fans and Boston teams already because we've had a very good century. And the Celtics would, you know, maybe come back and win the first ever down 3-0 series. The Red Sox, of course, were the only baseball team ever to do that, and people never stop hearing about it. Here we're talking about it again. And, you know, the Patriots won about 5 Super Bowls, including that one where they came back against the Falcons 28-3. So I think people are tired of it, but here we are again.
Here we are again, but Boston in the sports scene again.
Yeah, I'm going to answer your question. A month ago, I made plans to go down to Nantucket to hang out with an old friend of mine. Two of us who grew up together are going down to hang out with this third fellow. So we're going to see the game tonight on Nantucket. It doesn't get more New England than that.
Not a bad spot. So what is the best way to reach you online?
It is by my Twitter feed, which you see below here. You can find my new book, Generation Zero, and, you know, there's Nations League coming up. There's the Gold Cup coming up. If you are a USMNT fan, this is the book for you. It explains why we have a decent football team now didn't for so long. But you can get that on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And my companion site, which is a really fun read for soccer players, www.genzero.halphillips.net.
Sergiño Dest is rumored to go to Union Berlin. So FYI.
That's right. That's a good place for him. He'll play. He needs to play.
Yeah, he needs to play. Exactly. And of course, Pulisic, those question marks. And McKennie and Aronson as well. We'll see what things will come to unravel this upcoming weeks or months. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast.net, or you can get our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. The Sportscast 1 on Twitter and also on Instagram. So we'll be at it tonight on Memorial Day weekend. You can't beat it. Barbecue, then some basketball action. We'll see. Either way, it's going to be a win-win for either one of us. So I think we'll see. Al, thanks for coming on to The Sportscast.
My pleasure, Santi. Go Celtics.
Go Heat.